We are continuing with Perek Yud Aleph, and we're speaking about theft, being completely clean of the Aveira of Geneva. And we'll see that it's very, very difficult, because Geneva is not just stealing something that doesn't belong to you and taking it be'isser. But like we said, it includes many, many levels, the most subtle levels possible, and everybody is judged on what they know and what they are capable of doing at that moment, and where they have a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Hatov, and there's a conflict, and they make a decision, and things that you're not aware of, you also get punished for, but a much lesser thing, because even if you're unaware, we always explain that what you get punished for things that you're unaware of is either you get punished for not being aware. You should have learned. How come you weren't aware? Right? You could have learned. Or you get punished because it's like drinking poison, but you're unaware that it was poison. You thought it was a health drink, right? And it says on it rat poison. You don't know English. And you drink it, so you're going to get punished, what's it called, from the rat poison, even though you were unaware. You have that rat poison in your system. Same thing goes with an aveira that you're not aware of. You didn't really choose to do it wrong, but you did that thing wrong. It affects you. So in those two kinds of cases, an aveira, even if you're not aware of it, can affect you. But an aveira you know about and consciously choose to do, is much worse than an aveira you don't know about and don't make a conscious choice to do it. So we said that geneva includes every subtle possible thing where you are enjoying something that doesn't belong to you, or taking something that doesn't belong to you, or not living up to your responsibilities and therefore taking something. Well, we'll see. It gives examples. A lot.
Problem.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one thing? So, like, if you go to Yesh and you do your shopping, is it your obligation to check the receipt to see if there were any mistakes? Or is it only your obligation if you find out that you weren't charged for something to go back and pay it? Like, which, are you obligated to check every receipt? Or
Masada, you can assume that it's in their best interest to charge you what's right. Okay. If you are the kind of person who always checks the receipt to make sure that you weren't overcharged, then lechora you have a responsibility to check the receipt to make sure you weren't undercharged either. Okay, because you obviously don't rely on them, right? And I don't know how often it happens that you're charged
wrong. All the time.
All the time.
I always check my receipts, and they're always missing out on something. I'm always trying to pay them back, and they give me such a hard time.
Who gives? One second. It's a good question, because it's really relevant. Let's discuss it. If you never check your receipt, okay? And it's a bother to go through those receipts and check it, you know, one thing at a time or whatever. And therefore, sometimes they undercharge you, sometimes they overcharge you. Okay, what you're telling me now is that it happens all the time, may make it different. But I'm under the impression that supermarkets usually charge you what they're supposed to charge you. Okay, usually. The exception to the rule is where they don't. And therefore, you can assume that they have a business, they're charging you what they're supposed to charge you. And therefore, if you don't go to the bother of checking it, right, unless it's something that raises your suspicion that either you were overcharged or undercharged, but under normal circumstances, you don't go over everything, Mistami, you don't have to check it. You can assume that they're doing their job, and you can rely on them, and you rely on them both for if the mistake is in your favor or their favor. If you should find out, though, you have to say something. You can't just say, well, it probably equals out from the times that I didn't check it the other way. Then if you find out, if it's a Jewish concern, okay, then like Yesh, it's owned by Yidden, you must give back extra money if they give you too much, or they don't charge you for something, or whatever. That's called tos of a Jew, and that's considered gezel. There's no heter, right, to benefit from the tos of a Jew. And they're not Miyayish on it. Even if they are Miyayish, you got it before they're Miyayish, and they knew about it, and you have to return it. So at whatever, it's Hashavas Aveda, but it's more than Hashavas Aveda. That's, again, but if you normally rely on the what they charge you, you don't check it, Amistam, you don't have to check it. If, however, you're always looking to see that they didn't overcharge you, and you don't trust what they do, or it's taka, it's so often that they do that. I mean, I can't imagine. It's all mechanized.
It's usually the other way around. Like you buy, I don't know, two bags of popsin for whatever the price is, and they only go through one, and they miss the thought they did them both or something. So then you're being charged.
Okay, if you don't constantly check to see, and therefore sometimes you lose, sometimes you gain, right? And it's insignificant, usually insignificant amounts. Mistama, you have a right not to have to check. You can rely on them, that's it. And as long as you're not doing it willingly and knowing that you're taking money from them that's not yours, Mistama's okay.
I can't really read the Hebrew. I don't understand what most of the things on there are. I tend to look because I've been overcharged a couple times, and I just like run down looking for large amounts that are out of category of what, like, you know, is something 100 shekels or 60 shekels
right.
That I didn't buy. So I am checking every time, but I'm not checking DAFKA item by item.
Then check also to see that you weren't missing something big.
It's hard to do because I have like 40 items and I don't know what these items are. So it's like, because I don't know what they're called in Hebrew.
I hear.
So
how do you check it?
I'm just checking for. I mean, I know how much the prices were that I paid, so I'm looking for things that are unusual. Like, I was charged once for fish double the price, and they charged me like 60 shekels per instead of like. 40.
But doesn't it go on a machine?
I mean, quite often the myth say
they read a code, no?
Quite often the myth say they're not fed properly on the computer.
She put the kilos in wrong, I think, or something. I don't know.
Some northern ones have been there.
Sometimes the girl at the kubai has no idea that you, instead of a nail purchase for 20 shekels, it's a piece of salmon which costs 60 shekels.
She feeds in the
wrong code. She puts the wrong code.
I hear. Okay, I hope my wife saved all her past things from the last few years so we could check it out.
I've also found that a couple times they've charged me for like 6 bags and I only bought like 3. You know, they put it through too many times or something. So
I hear. If what you're telling me is true and they really are not reliable, then you should check it.
They're quite often also get the wrong.
And you can't rely on it. If everybody tells me that, again, I would imagine that supermarkets are pretty much of the time reliable and sometimes not. But you're telling me they're never reliable and maybe sometimes they get it right.
So often, yeah. But it happens, you know.
Some fish are better than others also.
Huh?
Yeah. I have like a Zikoi for like soda cans or something that I brought in that equaled roughly the same amount as the item I wasn't charged for. Can I just discard the Zikoi and figure I'm even, or is it better to go in and pay it?
Here it's only toast. Some things you have to let them know. But here they don't know altogether what it was, and you didn't take anything because you paid them back the difference. And then this situation will be okay. It doesn't work in all situations. In this situation, and also you can't, let's if they undercharged you, or they didn't charge you for something that you had. Okay, and the cashier says, forget it.
Right.
Right. You can't go by that. The cashier does not own Yesh. Right. Unless she does, maybe, you know. you never tell who's working there. What the cashier says is irrelevant. Just like in a bus, you know, the bus driver says, come on, without the pay, whatever. That doesn't help. He doesn't own the bus company. You have to go to the owner or the manager who has a right to make those kind of decisions. Mustafa, a manager, has a right to, in his store, make decisions like that.
So, like at the bakery, when they say, "Oh, try this," and they give you tastes of things.
No, so it could be in the bakery they want to do that, so you'll buy something, right? And the people in the bakery are given permission to that; they're told to do that, so they'll entice you to buy something.
Right.
Right. That's okay. But if the lady behind the counter who just works there gets a salary, does not own the bakery, says, hey, you look like a nice person. Here, take a loaf of bread. That can't do. She's a ganav and you're a ganav. Okay.
Also, you can't, can you try the stuff if you have no intention of eating it?
What?
If I'm buying it, that's it in the bakery.
No, they just say try it, maybe you'll change your mind. Right? And maybe you have intention to buy it, once you taste it, you'll never buy it in your life. that's possible also. Okay, let's learn something from the Mesillas Yesharim, but it's a good question. You could see that in those situations, it's not so simple, that nobody in the secular world would consider that stealing. What they would consider it is good luck. Or your mazel, you know, what's it called? You know, not that. What's it called? You know, we lucked out. You know, they didn't charge me or whatever. In Chutz Laretz, where the things are owned by Goyim, then if you know that nobody would ever catch it, and even if they do, they have no idea that you're from, that you're Jewish, forget about from, that you're Jewish, then the halacha is you're allowed to keep it. However, if you know that you can make a Kiddush Hashem, and it's really not worth not making Kiddush Hashem, because we're talking only about, they didn't make a mistake of $500, you know, on your grocery list, but a few pennies, it's good to make the Kiddush Hashem and to tell them that they made a mistake. And I remember in Quick Check in Miami, right, the cashiers, then they didn't have these infrared things. They had to, you know, do it and no numbers too, and that was a little hard for some of the people there, because they got up to like 7 or 6 in their education and never got to 8, 9, and 10, and they were a little difficult for them to add. They inevitably made mistakes. And once I remember the woman gave me, I gave her a $10 bill and she gave me $18 change. I said, you know, it really can't be that, you know, you could give me $18 change for a $10 bill. If you could, I'm going through this again a few more times. So she said, oh, thank you so much. She said, at the end of the month, I'm always behind. I don't know why, but I'm always, always behind. And I always have to give up a good portion of my salary because of these mistakes. And you're the first person who ever pointed out that I gave you back $18 for 10. Yeah, I can imagine why the other people didn't point it out.
I was in Macy's, which I have no idea if it's Jewish owned or not Jewish owned, and they were having sales on dresses. I went.
Macy's is not Jewish.
Oh, so it was $100 and some odd dress, and when I took the thing, it rang out to $7.99.
That could be then. That's true. In the Macy's they have sales.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fine. But I mean, the sales lady was shocked. I mean, she thought it was crazy, but you know.
That's what it said.
Buy the dress, she said. You know, it's $7.99. Like, it's clearly probably a mistake.
That's okay. That's okay. That wasn't even a mistake. They can sell forever they want. They can give you a present too if there's in their computer or whatever, you can.
So their computer mistakes, we don't have.
Yeah, and here in Eretz Yisrael is different. Here it's Jews. You have to. In America, if the telephone company makes a mistake or the bank makes a mistake or whatever, you don't have to notify them. You just hold your breath and hope that they don't catch it. You know, some point or other.
I was in Model's sporting goods store. And
I know Model's. Yeah. I have kids who used to wear fancy sneakers and who knows
and,
what other kind of
no,
things.
I bought something and they didn't charge me at all. They just didn't charge me. So I mean, I look at the thing, it's like $0. Like you're selling something.
Did you
thing.
Like walk out the back door?
No, no. I don't know. It didn't work for some reason. I came back.
Surprise! They didn't charge you.
No, I came back in and I said to the lady, you can charge me, whatever. Her manager was right there, and then the manager was screaming at her and everything like that.
Okay.
So is it better not to maybe have done that, because then she could have got fired, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, on the other hand, she has to ring it into the till. Where's the money gone?
What's it till?
Till when?
The
Kupa.
It's
got to
be registered in the
cash register. You bought the sneakers and she got the boot?
She got the money.
What'd you say?
She got the money. She herself.
Again, it's Rachmanis for somebody who may lose their job. But the truth is, if somebody who does that and doesn't charge people who leave the store really should lose their job. But again, probably it doesn't happen all the time. She would have lost her job long ago if it does happen all the time. And if you want Rachmanis on somebody like that, yeah, you did a mitzvah. Why not? And again, the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, see, we're not going to get to this, this is a short too fast, but the famous story, I think I've told it here many times, but he was a Rav in a small shtetl in Europe before he came to Toronto, to America, to Canada. And this is before World War II. And the postmaster of that city risked his life to save the few Jews that lived in that city. And after the war, when they asked him why he risked his life to save a bunch of Jews, he said that he had fun. He used to give, when they would buy stamps, he used to give back extra money and see who would, you know, tell him that he made a mistake and gave them extra change than they had. And once, he said he did it to a Jew, and a few hours later the Jew came back and he said, I got home and I counted the change and you gave me too much and I want to return it. He said, people that have such high morals deserve to be saved from what Hitler did to them. So a whole group of Jews. Why did the guy do it? He wasn't so posh he was going to do it. He went to ask the Rav. He asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, can I keep this money or shall I return it? Rav Yaakov told him, look, la halacha, you can keep it, because it's tol saku. But we're not so makbid to do everything mamish al pi halacha. So therefore, I think that it would be a good idea that you returned it. Even though, what's it called? You make a kiddush Hashem, you return it. Why take something? Why keep something that's not yours? Even if halachically you're allowed to keep it. And the guy returned it. And from that returning, I don't know if it was one time, but he said, I think the guy said he did it. He tested them many times. And every single time, Jews brought the money back. So after a small kehila, there was one Rav, and it got known that this is what you should do. And they did it. And because of that, these people's lives were saved. So you never know what the benefits from... It's usually not a lot of money, right? If the bank, you know, sends you a statement and they put $1 million into your account by mistake, and it's not a Jewish bank, right, I probably would rely on Tosak.
They'll probably find it.
They probably will find it at some point, but sometimes not. They don't. It just
I have
gets.
Somebody who's recalled. Yeah. My father had a talent who was credited by the bank. It was 40 years ago when the kingpins first came in. He rang the bank and said, you made a mistake. Computers don't make mistakes. Don't make mistakes. Can I withdraw the money and close the account? Yes, sir, you may. And he did. And then I called
the. Okay. Yeah, I understand that. And sometimes it's not kedai to try to return the money, because if you go with a big company, right, and they mischarge you even a considerable amount, they don't want to know from it. It's too hard to change their books and whatever. And that you try sometimes, right, to return money to a company, right? You're not going to make any kiddush Hashem. They just tell you, don't bother us or whatever, and pretty much that's the policy. If that's the case, then they keep it, especially if it's going. If it's yidden, then you have to know that the people you're talking to is not some pakid who doesn't want some extra work. You know, they're aruchat eser, or you're disturbing them, right? But it's really somebody who has a right to make such a decision. But if it's not a Jewish company, then you can rely on that.
Hello?
Yeah.
Once
in a second, you're all a blur, so. Yeah.
I tried to sleep on the bus and I landed up in the bus station instead of where I should have been. And I had a very nice bus driver who drove me home. Did he have a right to do that, to use the bus to drive me back in?
Israeli bus driver drove you home.
In his bus?
Yeah,
he is supposed to check the bus at the last stop. He was negligent in not doing so.
No.
Before he drove to the before he goes to the thing, he's supposed to check the bus at the last stop. At the end of the line, the last stop, he's supposed to check the bus and make sure nobody's on the bus.
No, but you got to the last line.
No,
yeah.
She got to the depot.
I got to the depot.
That's pretty good.
Okay, what's a depot?
The bus station.
What?
The chanaya.
The parking.
Where is that?
It's a garage.
You wake up and there was a
in the chanaya.
The parking garage.
Where is
that?
The
parking garage.
It's after the road over.
The entrance to Chatsiba in the depot.
For the entrance to Chatsiba.
Okay, well, I'm not going
to
ask you where's Chatsiba. I don't have no idea what it is. Okay, but so it's not in Kirche. It's outside Kirche.
Yeah.
So he mamash had to drive you.
So he drove you back to Montichio.
I'm not sure.
So
it could be. It could be that it's in the best interest of the bus company to have very nice bus drivers, so you'll be, you won't complain about their service.
We've got the wrong company.
The wrong company for that.
We've got the wrong company for that.
Huh?
Another time the bus driver said to get off and walk.
I'm not sure. It could be that if the bus driver did it and if they would know about it, right, then you're benefiting from him stealing gas money. It's something, right? It's not negligible. I don't know. You know what you do, so you know for the future. And everybody will know, so you can report to us. Call the main office of the bus company. Uh-huh. And don't tell them where you're calling from or whatever, so they don't start looking to find which driver they can fire or whatever. And tell them this is a situation, and do they allow bus drivers in such a situation to be nice and to take you, or should you know, and then if it happens again, you should refuse. Uh-huh. See what they say.
I mean, you're not going to get the owner either. You'll
get somebody who at least has the right to answer those questions, or she'll tell you, I'll check with my,
senior.
I had a girl come to stay with me for Shabbos, and this happened to her on Friday afternoon. She said the bus driver didn't know where Matas Yahu was, and I think it was like a 310. He was supposed to take her, and they ended up on some other street, and he's driving all around trying to figure out where to go, and he's driving here and driving there, and I don't know, we finally dropped her near Kesem or something, I think at the entrance here. And but that's another question, he was trying to help.
It could be that the bus drivers have some kind of leeway to decide where they...
He didn't know where Matisyahu was, but he took money from the bus company.
I would be interested to hear. I get all the time questions from seminary girls every year. This is the major question. Can they use the NOAR, the student thing, right, even though they're 18, because a lot of them become 18. So on the thing, I think it says that till 18. However, for years already, every time we called the main office of the bus company, it depends who answered the phone, what answer you got. Mm-hmm. Our policy is, as long as you're a student, it doesn't make a difference what age you are, you can use that card. Our policy is only up till 18. Sometimes they said this, sometimes they said that. Not the bus drivers.
18, like what? I once heard... Including 18, like 19 for a
student. They said even, what's it called, even if you're 28, but you're still a student, you haven't stopped being a student, you can use the nowhere thing. That's what sometimes they say. And then we got it in writing one year, that two different things. One letter said this, one letter said this. So they don't have they don't clearly know what their policy is. So what I tell them is the following. You can ask for a nowhere thing, pay for it. If they ask you how old you are, you can't lie. You have to say exactly how old. If they let you use it fine, they'll let you use it not. But it's, again, not up to the discretion of the bus driver, because in the main office, they say sometimes this way, sometimes that way. Since they don't have a definite policy, and you're not lying to them, you're telling them 100% what the facts are if they ask you. You don't have to volunteer it. You ask for a nowhere. If they say to you, how old are you? Then you have to say. And if they say, well, it's only up till 18, then you can't get it. You can ask the next bus driver and do the same thing. So most of the time they don't even ask you how old you are. They sell it to you. They don't ask you when you get on the bus and use it how old you are. So it's obviously not
me.
A... What?
They ask me.
They ask you how old you are?
Yeah,
they think you're 17?
No, they want to give me a senior citizen's ticket. They want to give me a senior citizen's ticket.
I hear. Okay.
My daughter told me...
I never had that problem, because I don't take buses.
Right, exactly.
My daughter told me in the SEM here in Kiryat Sefer, at Feuerstein, so the girls, they start out, they get the tickets for no... They're still 17 when they start 12th grade or whatever. Most of them turn 18 in the middle. So apparently they asked, and she told me that the answer was until they're 18, as long as there's
that's a third shot. because on the card it says not like that. In any case, the answer is they don't have a policy that they know of what it is, and therefore you can use it as long as you don't lie.